Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Kamala Harris, who I must remind you, I have to say this, Dan Borowski, as we begin, because I must remind you that Kamala Harris is the current vice president of the United States of America.
Wait, what? No, yeah, she is?
Yeah, she's not new.
I forgot.
Did you know that?
It's been memory hold for some reason. Oh.
So I needed to remind you of this, that she's the
current. Are you sure, Dawn?
She's not new. She's not shiny and new.
I just want to make sure. Are we sure on that?
She's here. She has been here.
Really?
I want to unburden you by this. So Kamala Harris, VP, former President Donald J. Trump, stage is set. So all of the pregame activities begin, I don't know, 7 p.m.-ish. Our own Dom Giordano will be breaking it down for you. He's right on the inside, and we'll bring you all that. And Dan, you'll be working it too this evening, right?
Yeah, I'll be working remote from home, watching the debate, taking notes, and recording that live. But also Dom working that spin room. Tune in to Walter Sterling tonight. There'll be live drop-ins from Dom from the spin room as he talks to some people out there.
Look forward to that. So it's a big night and a big day for Philadelphia. We'll talk about all of it. And moving forward, of course, I'll talk about the traffic and commuter nightmare that is set to unfold. You've been warned if you've been listening, but we do have the Phillies with Ranger Suarez on the mound, 6:40 p.m., as we have all of these road closures and rolling road closures that will be taking place. Oh, yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. So we'll talk about all of that and the traffic seriously and let you know about that. We do have real, oh, my goodness, just heartache and heartbreak. And we will update you on the situation with Johnny and Maddie Goudreau and their widows and news that broke yesterday during the beautiful commemoration and church service as many prayed for them. And those GoFundMe pages and donations continue to flow in, and a lot of love and prayers. A lot of just a heartbreaking situation, and we learned more. So we'll update that for you. It is election day locally in Delaware. Polls opened at 7 a.m., closed tonight at 8. We have all of that. And I'll be pointing out to you just some of the fake news, as well as how the media is covering, in particular here in Philadelphia and beyond, and referring to Trump v. Harris. We'll get into that. But one of the big issues, so we know that there are going to be demonstrators and protesters. Some pro-life protesters will be outside greeting Trump, and as well critical of Harris's views on abortion. So Trump supporters rallying there. And on the other side, we will have those Palestinian, pro-Palestinian supporters there who are critical of Harris, apparently, as these are anti-Israeli protesters out there. So we'll see what impact the protesters and demonstrations on the outside, what impact do they have on the questioning of the hope by the hosts to Trump and Harris. That's one thing we're watching. Surely, though, the issue of illegal immigration will arise, as you have Kamala Harris, who is the current vice president of the United States. And she was dubbed, and we have all the clips of the media calling her the border czar. What does she have to say about her job as border czar and with the current administration? So that's one of certainly the questions that will go to Trump v. Harris. And that really puts us to this issue that's going on in Ohio. And there's some fake news, I'll acknowledge that. But I want to break this down for you, because there are people who say that they are witnesses to what's going down in Ohio. And so we want to take you through this, and we want to really sift through fact v. fiction and why we think that people feel like they have to go to the extreme to say illegal immigrants are eating your kitty cats and your pets. What?
Ridiculous.
That is something that is headlining, and it has been spiraling out of control on social media for the past, what, Dan, 22 hours, something?
24 hours. So, yeah.
So there are facts, and then there's fake news, and there's fiction, and then there's the whole spin. So where do you want to start? Because Dan found some audio.
Let's start from the start. There's a guy, a citizen journalist, is Alfredo Pastadon's his name on Instagram. And what he does is he's on YouTube often, and he travels around the Ohio area talking to people in blighted areas, and spends a lot of time in Springfield, Ohio. And at a city commissioner's meeting, he stands up and the words here is what spurns the entire meme that we hear. And It's pretty bad. Like, why are we going and saying that Haitians are, you know, sacrificing cats and all? But the thing is, in this commentary, this guy mentions that he saw in his reporting a Haitian immigrant grabbing a duck by the neck and beheading it.
He's claiming he witnessed it.
He's claiming he witnessed it, but again, this is secondhand reporting. You can only trust as much as you can, you know. But in his commentary, and what's being forgotten through this whole thing is that the media has really focused on one aspect of that, and that's the ridiculous nature, and it's been turned into memes and such. But the guy had a really genuine point in his words, and you can hear it, and he says it before he just makes an offhand remark about the ducks. Take a listen.
You got a bunch of people on a bus getting dropped off at a gas station to come down here. I know a single mom that FaceTimed me this morning at the welfare office that really needs something. And it's nothing but immigrants over there. And I don't even want to, like, seem like I'm coming down on the immigrants, because it's the people that's bringing them down here. Because wherever they're at, that's what they're used to, bro. They're in the park grabbing up ducks by their neck and cutting their head off and walking off with them. And eating them.
So that's, I will say this, that is not his main point here. He's actually there, right, Dan, to speak out about the issue of services and how that they're being inundated and overwhelmed, and they can't serve the residents there of Springfield and the residents of Ohio and legal United States citizens because they're inundated with folks coming here illegally.
Yep.
That's the bottom line, right?
Yeah, so Tyler Oliveira, he's a YouTube journalist. He actually went out to Benefits Plus, Ohio Means Jobs. It's a jobs office out there near Springfield, and spoke to a veteran who was standing outside to hear what the situation's been there as immigrants have flooded into Springfield. Take a listen.
Do you think the town's taking care of their local residents that were here first and foremost?
Oh, no. Hell no. I've been trying to get a simple Medicaid card since June. They took me off of, I'm a vet. They took me off of the disability and
military
made me start
veteran.
Paying for my own disability. They so backed up in there. They didn't ask me for the same information 3 times, and I done gave it to them 3 times, and they still sending me the same letters. So it's frustrating. So I had to give them proof of income and disabilities and stuff. I gave them all that. They still ain't did nothing.
So you're a veteran, and you're competing with some of the resources they're getting?
Yeah.
Who just came in here?
Yeah.
That make you feel some type of way?
No, I feel like this here, being a vet, I say that America, we once had the slogan, the melting pot, give us your hungry, your poor, et cetera, et cetera. This is a place where everybody's supposed to be able to make it, man. It's not that I have anything against anyone. This America, you dig what I'm saying? But I'm saying that the things that, the hoops they make us jump through can have you turn on each other in a sense or say negative things. I don't have anything that's negative to say or bad to say about anybody Haitian.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Do you think the town's taking care of their local residents that were here first and foremost?
Oh, no. Hell no.
So just to confirm that Springfield police, they have said that they have not received reports related to any pets being stolen and or eaten. That the police are saying we know nothing about this. So that's for the record. But I think this gentleman, who's a United States military veteran, served our nation, he's very diplomatic in what he's saying. That he's saying, this is not about anybody else. This is just not fair. And so I think that he's a kind-hearted man who's just upset that as somebody, especially who served our country, he's being shoved to the back of the line, essentially. Do you want to go to J.D. Vance speaking on the issue of resources? And this was months ago, Senator Vance talking about resources being depleted because Ohio can't, and this really is across the nation. We've heard many, many communities across the country say, we're not ready for this. We heard this in New York. And that precipitated the Trump rally, if you recall, which was kind of shocking to a lot of people. But we see municipalities across the country which are inundated. They can't handle all the services and it's inundating the schools. Think about back to school right now. So here's Senator Vance speaking on the issue.
Chairman Brown, I'd like to ask unanimous consent to submit a letter for the record from the city of Springfield and our state, the southwestern part of our state, which I think highlights a very real example of this particular concern, straight from the horse's mouth itself. And now this letter, I want to quote from it. Springfield has seen a surge in population through immigration that has significantly impacted our ability as a community to produce enough housing opportunities for all. Springfield's Haitian population has increased 15 to 20,000 over the last 4 years in a community of under 60,000 previous residents, putting a significant strain on our resources and ability to provide ample housing for all of our residents. And end quote there. And Mike.
No objection. So
thank you. In my conversations with folks in Springfield, it's not just housing. They're trying to build 5,000 new housing units, which is a very Herculean task in a town of about 55,000 people, but it's also hospital services, it's school services, there's a whole host of ways in which this immigration problem, I think, is having very real human consequences.
So he very professionally and methodically is pointing out the statistics. These are the facts of the case. This is a community that's being inundated and overwhelmed and simply cannot afford it, and this is under the Biden-Harris administration. I think it's unfortunate, to be honest, that somehow this spiraled into cat memes everywhere of kitty cats and allegations of cats being eaten by folks. And that's just horrible. But that's in my take, I think people are frustrated and they feel like, hey, nobody cares about us. The fact that we can't afford this, we're inundated. But, you know, if we put pretty little furry kitty cats and we put that out there, suddenly people will care. They don't care about people. They don't care about children going back to school and the services that are just bursting at the seams. They can't afford it. They can't handle the influx of this many people. And so they have to go to cat memes.
Yeah.
And that's sad and it's unfortunate, but it's important to track this.
It's more commentary on your, you know, liberal bias of the media, because here you have a situation in immigration where you have asylum seekers taking precedent over veterans, over local residents, and continually over and over again, you see it, you know, silenced, and here you have a meme, you know, the cat thing taking precedent priority over the you know, actual situation, the actual trouble of people losing out on services. I have a CBS News from Rochelle, New York, when they had that whole situation in Madison High School. Take a listen. I thought I had it.
A shortage of frustration as parents and community leaders gathered outside James Madison High School, claiming classes never should have been moved online to make room for some 1,900 migrants to temporarily shelter in their gym and auditorium during Tuesday night's storm.
It's inexcusable to do this to the students of New York City high schools, especially after all they've been through with COVID.
Mr. Mayor, you knew this was going to happen. Everyone knew this was going to happen.
The protesters said schools shouldn't be used as shelters and that Floyd Bennett Field, which is located along the shore of Jamaica Bay, is not a good place to house migrants because of its vulnerability to weather events.
So if you remember this at the time, there were especially moms who even came out and said, look, I was never involved in politics. I don't know what. They were livid. And this was an important turning point that a lot of these moms who were Democrats went all MAGA because they said, this is not going to happen. Remember that when they went in the school, then the school was nasty with excrement in the hallways and they had to clean it out. It was disgusting. And parents were furious that the priority once again, and that's the real pattern that we see, the priority was for those migrants. By the way, Elon Musk weighing in. And so he had tweeted out or X'd out, vote for Kamala if you want this to happen to your neighborhood. And he shared like this AI generated photo of a little cute little duckling and a kitten with a caption that said, save them. And so even Elon Musk. So if you've seen this, I just want you to, and maybe, you know, maybe you lighthearted it or you liked it or maybe you retweeted it. But I just want to give you the facts. And the facts are that it's really not about pets. It's about people. And isn't it a shame that somebody, you know, said, and I have no idea how this all started. Well, I think it started with the gentleman making the claim that he, in fact, there was a witness to this duckling issue. And then it just kind of spiraled out with kitties. But it's not about pets. It's about people, human beings, children, military veterans, grandparents, senior citizens, and actual U.S.-born citizens and taxpayers who are, their lives are being interrupted and in upheaval because to no fault of their own, in Ohio there, in this small town, well, it's, you know, 55 plus thousand people, or at least it was, Springfield, that this is now, you know, just, they have to deal with this and they're inundated. And this is the result of horrible policies by President Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris. That's what's going on. It's not about pets. It's about people. It's about individuals. And this has to do with their medical care. This has to do with emergency care. And this has to do with the education of their children, something we, the people, we taxpayers, we pay for this, for our own United States citizens. And so it's not fair. It's not just. And across the country, we are seeing this and we're seeing the outrage over this. That's the real story. It's sad to me that somebody felt the need to make pretty little kitty memes to make anybody care. I will tell you this, and I have to break because we do have a great guest coming up, a real, real wonderful guest. You've heard me interview him. It was a while ago. Dr. Ben Carson is in the house coming up at 10:30. But I will say this, and this is my final thought here, and that is that for this entire situation, well, you know what? I'm going to hold it because we have to break. I'll tell you one more thing that you haven't heard this morning about this as we wrap it up.
I like the tease.
Oh, giving you a little tease. And your thoughts on all of this, 855-839-1210. But you heard, you know, Greg Stocker say, no, I don't think he wanted to report on it because there was some fake news infused into it. But that's okay as long as we properly report it and put it into proper perspective and sift through facts versus fiction. They're just all out right now. That's what we are experiencing, and that's why it's so important that everybody knows the facts and hears the truth, so that if you're anywhere and you hear some of these lies and so on and so forth, that you can just give the facts, right? Because that's, don't get emotional, don't get triggered, just give the facts, and then tell people, hey, look it up for yourself, because you are being played, you are being lied to. So once you hear those headlines, as far as and awful headlines, here is truly what Melania Trump said.
The attempt to end my husband's life was a horrible, distressing experience. Now, the silence around it feels heavy. I can't help but wonder, why didn't law enforcement officials arrest the shooter before the speech? There is definitely more to this story. And we need to uncover the truth.
So there she is, former First Lady, Melania Trump. I'm renaming Mama Lydia. Mama Melania. She's demanding answers today. This is just out, a developing story. But she has every right as a wife. Because you know what? I'm sure she's thinking, but for about a fourth or an eighth of an inch, but by what account you want to listen to, she would be widow Melania. And you heard Trump at one point at one of the rallies, I believe, saying that Melania couldn't yet even talk about it. So this is the first time that she is speaking out about this over her husband's assassination attempt, something that made American history, something you won't hear in the media. They don't want to talk about this. As she is questioning law enforcement's role in the bloody ordeal. Now, moving forward, I am going to talk a lot about law enforcement, and we'll talk to Michael Chitwood. We'll talk to others about this and hear from you. If you are with police, law enforcement, I would love to hear from you. And you can use a different name as far as, you know, some of these stories that are breaking. We'll weave in later on Tyreek Hill and that situation, as well as the firing of a Pennsylvania State Police trooper who in a similar fashion found himself in a similar fashion during a traffic stop right here locally. So we'll talk about all of that. But she says her silence around this, you know, the silence around this feels heavy. I will point out to you, I don't believe that she's not talking about the local Pennsylvania law enforcement. That's not who she's talking about. She, in my opinion, maybe you disagree, 855-839-1210, I feel that Melania Trump is referring to, at the federal level, they knew that there was someone who they arrested, right, who was activated, who was a so-called hitman, who had been hired by, you know, terrorists, if you will, terrorist organizations in the Middle East. He was coming from the Middle East, and he was a hitman who was, thank God, he was arrested. But that was right before the situation in Butler, Pennsylvania. And so you put all of this together, and by the way, they delayed the reporting of that, right, to space it out. So if you know that the former president of the United States of America, Donald J. Trump, is in Butler, Pennsylvania, and you just arrested a dude who has a who is apparently a hired hitman because of this is retribution dating back to Trump's hit on the head of terrorist Soleimani, right? So this all weaves back to the Trump administration and Trump taking out terrorism and dealing with terrorists in the only way that perhaps you can deal with them is because they understand violence. And so he silenced it. He shut it down as he has said, well, we now learn that reportedly there was a hit out on Trump. So Melania now learns this. You think of that. She has every right. I also love the way she speaks. I want to hear the truth because the truth will set you free, my friend. I love her voice. I do.
You can do the promotion for her book. When she has like the, just her name over it.
I know. I would love. Please, Melania, come. And I would not, you know, it would be rude, I guess, to imitate her to her face because she might think I'm being.
All right. Give me an impression. You got the music behind you now.
This is Melania. Mama Melania, your MAGA mama. You must find the truth, and the truth will set you free.
Here's a little bit more from Melania. This is on Sunday, Dawn.
The 2020 election results changed our lives forever. It impacted our quality of life, cost of food, gasoline, safety, and even the geopolitical landscape. America is more divided today than ever before. It has become increasingly apparent that there are significant challenges to free speech, as demonstrated by the efforts to silence my husband.
The efforts. You know, you listen to her. I love the way she speaks. And quite frankly, let's just be honest here. If Melania Trump had a D behind her name, or her husband had a D behind her name as far as being a Democrat, she would be all over the place. I love the way she speaks. I love her voice, her accent. I mean, she's beautiful, the way she moves. And you know that's why they hate her, right? Because she's like flawless. She's so graceful and perfect. And they hate her. But they're like, ugh, we want to get a bad picture. We want to make her look bad. But ugh, we can't. And so that makes them crazy. And I love that. But I know I'm a fangirl. I've been imitating her for, 9 years now with Zioli. So someday I'll have the honor of meeting her as I met then-President Trump in the Oval Office. And also the honor of Dr. Ben Carson in the House coming right up. So we'll get Dr. Carson's take, as the doctor's in the House, and get his take on all of this unfolding, not just media bias, but really focusing in on the big debate tonight. Right here in Philadelphia, Dr. Ben's latest book, and I know you have multiple books, but Dr. Carson, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Always a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So your latest book, I know, came out, I think, last May, June, The Perilous Fight, Overcoming Our Culture's War on the American Family. I think I had talked to you about it then. But today, I do want to get to the book, by the way, but I also want to talk about your take, Dr. Carson, on today in Philadelphia, because not far from where I'm broadcasting live from Odyssey World Headquarters, just basically down the street, the road closures, protesters and demonstrators will soon gather. And we have, of course, former President Donald J. Trump, current Vice President Kamala Harris will be in the House there at the National Constitution Center. Can you take me through what you're watching for and what you expect to see this evening?
This will be a very big debate because it's unique in the sense that one of the candidates, no one knows. No one knows what her policies are. Mm-hmm. And will she, in fact, articulate what those policies are, or will she continue to run away from her past record? You have one candidate who's standing on his record and one that's running away from the record, and each trying to convince people that they're the ones to vote for. So what I'm going to really be looking for is who can articulate what they actually believe right now and why they believe it. That's going to be the real key with Kamala. If she does articulate a policy, ask her, and Donald Trump will have to do it because the moderators won't, mm-hmm. why do you believe that? And why did you believe something else previously? What's the difference? Now, of course, she doesn't believe anything that's different. That's the very reason that you don't see a lot of anger on behalf of the far left. She's already signaled to them that her values haven't changed, which is just her way of saying, don't worry, we got this. Mm-hmm. And I'll say what I need to say in order to get elected, but you know who I am. That's basically what she's saying. And that was really confirmed by Bernie Sanders this weekend on one of mm-hmm. the shows.
Yes.
And he said, you know, she will say what she needs to say to get elected.
Yeah, she's the say-anything candidate. Dr. Carson, as I look at this and I think of, you know, the sliver of voters at the end of the day who apparently will end up deciding this next election, do you foresee surprises in the Hispanic community, the African-American community, and even within women being split over a candidate who, yes, is a proven winner in a time when we have a very tough economy, everybody everywhere is talking about it, especially back to school. And then on the other hand, the women's issues, the left calls it the reproductive rights so-called issues.
Well, I do see a surprise because now, many of those groups that you just mentioned have shown that they are moving more toward the center. They're moving more toward Donald Trump's ideologies. But when that happens, there's also a group of them who won't say it because they're afraid that there may be consequences for them. Mm-hmm. So I think you're going to see a much bigger vote than anybody expected for Trump, because people won't admit that they actually like him and agree with his policies because they're afraid. That's a problem.
Do you think, Dr. Carson, that in essence, in certain communities, people will, going just based on what you just said, maybe just feeling like Kamala Harris, you know, is not authentic or doesn't reach a lot of people or inspire them? And so do they just stay home? I think that's the fear here in Philadelphia among Democrats. That even though we'll have no doubt Barack Obama and all the stars and all of that, but this is not Barack. This is not Michelle. This is somebody who they don't know, don't trust.
Yeah, I think probably that's a legitimate concern for them. But I think the American people are smarter than anybody gives them credit for. And I think a lot of them realize that this is not so much about Democrats and Republicans as it is about people who believe in our founding principles, believe in this country, versus those who want to fundamentally change us. And they've been around for a long period of time, but the circumstances have presented themselves where they can manifest themselves now. And that's why it seems like over the last few years there's been this radical change. It's just that it's been easier to express in these last few years, but it's been there for a very long time. And all you'd have to do is, look at the congressional record from January the 10th, 1963, see the 45 goals of communism that were read into the record by Congressman Herlong of Florida. Most of those things have been accomplished now. And you can see a market shift in who we've become as a country. And our leadership is sorely lacking in the world. That's why you're seeing all of these countries revert back to suppressing freedom of speech and some of the other things that we have stood for, because the banner carrier, us, has just not been present.
And, you know, that really brings me to talking about, the fact, I know you were just named as National Faith Chairman of the Trump campaign. I think of when Biden, fairly recently, it's amazing. It's amazing when I think of since late June until now where we've come. But not so long ago this summer, President Joe Biden and his Vice President Harris were in, for example, black churches here in Philadelphia. You don't see that so often where actually you have candidates who are brought forth to a pulpit and that sort of thing in Christian churches. So take me through what it means to you. And first of all, I think you're perfect. You're so positive energy and a man of faith. But Dr. Carson, what is your intent as you move through this role as far as being a role model, as far as will you be in churches? Will you be speaking out in faith communities?
Well, you know, the founding document of our country, the Declaration of Independence, says that our rights come from our Creator, a.k.a. God, life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. And the things, the Judeo-Christian values that say love your neighbor, not cancel your neighbor if they have a different yard sign, mm-hmm. those are the things that brought us together and created incredible strength and unity, which propelled us to the pinnacle of the world in record time. And as we've thrown those things out, look how quickly we're spiraling downward. It's not too late to stop that. And that's what I'll be doing. I'll be, you know, out in these various venues all around our country, helping people to recognize that there's nothing wrong with having values and principles. Nothing wrong with thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery and all these things. And in fact, when you don't do those things, a lot of strife goes out of your life. Maybe there was a reason that God gave us some of these things. Maybe the person who created us knows what brings out the good in us and what brings out the bad.
I love that. I don't remember the Trump campaign in 2016. Was there a national faith chairman, or is this a new position?
No, this is a new position.
So is it new? Is it new, Dr. Carson, since what happened here in Pennsylvania in Butler with the assassination attempt? Because I see Trump more. He's being asked about faith more and kind of opening up about that. And, you know, for people in my personal life, I'll just tell you, sometimes the whole family's praying for them, you know, to find Jesus Christ as their personal savior.
Absolutely.
I think a lot of people have prayed for Trump. And is that knock at the door happening for him? And have you seen a change in him since the assassination attempt?
Well, you know, I told him way back in 2016, while we were still running against each other, that he was going to win, which kind of took him back a bit. I said, you're going to win because God is going to use you to help save our country. And he did, because if he hadn't won, Hillary would have gotten three Supreme Court picks. Can you imagine what it would be with three Supreme Court picks from her? And I've told him that again recently, and I think it really resonates with him. He understands that it's about more than him. Now, the other side is trying to paint him as totally self-centered and only concerned about what's good for him. But when you stop and think about it, when he ran for president, he was already as famous as anybody in the world.
Yeah.
He was already a billionaire. It wasn't anything that was going to enhance anything for him. In fact, he's lost a lot in the process of doing that. So I don't think it's all about him. It sort of comes down to an interview I saw him do about 35 years ago with Oprah. And she said, Donald, would you ever run for president? He said, no, I would never want to get into that unless the country was going off the cliff. And it was going off the cliff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still heading off the cliff, and that's why we need him again. And some people say, yeah, but he says nasty things. I don't like him. I could never vote for him. Well, if you were a sick patient, you had a severe disease, could be cured by skillful surgery, would you rather have the surgeon who has a bad bedside manner but saves everybody, or the one with beautiful words who kills everybody?
Mm. Wow. That's a tough analogy. I wonder if, because of everything post July 13th and with what you're talking about, is Trump moving more toward talking about faith or positive energy, or just a little more Reagan-esque with being hopeful? Because you think about Reagan and when he swept the country, that was something. And I will say Obama, it was remember hope and change.
Yes.
But with Reagan, you know, that was a real thing that people felt. Do you think that that's something that you'll see, that we can expect to see this evening, Trump trying to portray a more positive message about the American dream.
I think you will definitely see that. And, of course, the other side will be doing everything they can to get under his skin, to make him angry, to make him react. But I think he knows that they're going to be trying to do that. And he's a smart guy. So I don't think they're going to be able to manipulate him as easily as they think they can.
Dr. Ben Carson, you've been so gracious, as always, with your time. As as I thank you, what is your prayer? Because we have to pray specifically. So what is your prayer suggestion for President Donald J. Trump as he faces off in perhaps the only debate this evening with Vice President Harris? What do you want people or hope that people would pray specifically for this evening?
I pray that he would be able to continue to see the big picture and why he is there. And I also pray that the eyes of the American people will be open so that they won't be so easily subject to gaslighting.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dr. Ben Carson, thank you so much for joining me this morning. Really appreciate you.
Always good to be with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dr. Carson. And again, this is the first time I've interviewed him since he was named as National Faith Chairman of the Trump campaign, a brand new position. I think it's important that former President Trump actually created that position, and it's tailor-made for Dr. Ben Carson. Just love him and love his positive energy. Just ahead, I have some breaking news about 18-year-old Barron Trump and his first day of college at New York University's Stern School of Business. So breaking news on that front I want to bring to you is his mom, Melania Trump, or dad, Donald J. Trump, are they reacting to that? We want to share that with you. And this on just such a beautiful day as we head into the fall, thinking about holiday plans. When it comes to your home, trust is everything. For 45 years, Kitchen Magic has built a reputation for transforming kitchens with precision and care, from custom cabinets to countertops, backsplashes. What about the storage solutions? Kitchen Magic gets the job done and fast. In just a few days, your dream kitchen becomes a reality without all the hassle. You can trust the name your neighbors have relied on for decades, Kitchen Magic. Go to kitchenmagic.com, get your free in-home consultation. Put this on the calendar, kitchenmagic.com. Let's cook up something extraordinary. Tell them Dawn sent you. Daily Beast, Barron faces NYU professors who signed a letter, and the letter is old news that I've talked about before, and I'm sure we all talked about it. A letter by these different Ivy League schools that condemn Trump. And then raw story, unfit to lead, Barron Trump's new NYU professors publicly speaking out about condemning his father. I think that they're taking what it appears, even the raw story, these are misleading headlines, because these are people who years ago then had condemned President Donald J. Trump. However, the new story is that Barron, the 18-year-old, met with the interim dean of the business school that Trump recently, and you played the audio, Dan, where Trump recently said this is an excellent school, a business school, and Barron decided on this. He was accepted into many schools, and I believe, you know, was he accepted into University of Pennsylvania, because this is breaking with a tradition in the Trump family. Most of the Trump kids obviously went to UPenn. I remember when Ivanka was here, and of course they loved her and gushed over her, and she was on the cover of local magazines and all of that. And then Eric did not go here, though. I think Don Jr. did, and Tiffany also graduated from UPenn. But according to the reports, if you remember the letter back in the fall of 2020, Harvard, Yale, Cornell, Columbia, the usual suspects, they all were saying, you know, nasty things about Trump or condemning him, etc. But in this story,
I do have the audio of Trump there if you wanted that.
I hope that in this story, we'll get to audio in just a second. My hope is that when 18-year-old Barron Trump, when he met on his first day of college at NYU with the Stern School of Business interim dean, my hope is that that's because this interim dean, J.P. Eggers, hopefully met with him and said, welcome to the school. Hey, I know 4 years ago I was one of the signers of this. We welcome you. Hopefully it's like a gracious good thing. I cannot imagine that it's anything other than that. So I'm always half glass full. but you had some audio of Trump talking about the Stern School of Business.
He was accepted to a lot of colleges. He's a very smart guy, and he'll be going to Stern, the business school, which is a great school, at NYU.
What clinched the decision?
Just, it's a very high-quality place. He liked it. He liked the school. We like NYU. I've known NYU for a long time, but it's one of the highest rated.
You think he's living on campus?
Or is he living in Trump Tower? So technically, he's a commuter. See?
Imagine inviting a date over to the penthouse of Trump Tower.
Oh, my gosh.
Take her for a ride through
Mom, Central you got to leave me alone. I got a date coming over. You know? Can you imagine?
How big is their spot in?
It's huge.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah? Like multi-floors?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
And that's just it. On November 5th, no matter what happens, the Trump and his family, they win because he's still a billionaire. He still goes back to, you know, Mar-a-Lago and lives his best life. It's us. We're the losers if Trump loses. I'm just saying. But just a quick reminder, Trump, remember, called on the Stern School of Business to certify that his business accounting was sound in that alleged fraud case filed by New York Attorney General Letitia James. Remember this? And so reportedly, the Stern accounting professor, Eli Bartov, was paid, and it's a reported $900,000 by the whoever, Trump Save America PAC, to testify, which experts paid it. They're paid experts, and that's transparent information, but that was Stern. So that's why I think today's the meeting that went down with the youngest Trump son and the interim director, I'm sure it went well, and they are welcoming him with open arms. So I hope he wins everybody over. Your thoughts, 855-839-1210, the number to call. You think about this month, and wow, what beautiful weather. We're in the 80s this week, lower humidity, crisp, cool, kind of feels like fall, but warming up. And then this weekend, what an incredible weekend for one of the last summer road trips you may take. Do you know if your vehicle's road trip ready? My friends at Piazza Premium Automobiles, they're going to help make sure that you and your family are safe out on the roads. These service centers of the Piazza Premium dealers not only handle all your regular maintenance needs, but they're going to diagnose possible issues before they happen and certainly before you hit the road. So schedule that service appointment online today. Visit PiazzaPremiumAutomobilesToday.com. So it's PiazzaPremiumAutomobiles.com for that dealer nearest you, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, PIAZZA. PiazzaPremiumAutomobiles.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
Dawn Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.